thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
It's time for Pets Corner, and our resident vet, Kirsten Simpson, joins us now from the Vet Centre in Crow Road of Glasgow. Hello.
Hiya, hiya.
We're going to talk about a couple of things today, but first of all, now, somebody wants a pet. Mm-hmm. They're housebound, they're not very mobile. They don't want to go through all the stages of training, toilet training, etc. Where's the best place to get a pet that sort of fits that bill? A dog or a cat, say?
Well, there's only two options. One is to try and get, because some breeders do have lots of pets they bred themselves, so they might have some pets that have finished their breeding life cycle and they want to find a new home for them so they can continue breeding other animals. So they usually sort of like rehome animals, cats and dogs, nice, well-behaved animals, but just obviously have been bred in the past. Obviously, a cat and dog home, from the SPCA or Cats Protection League, or some more kind of local regional ones are quite good as well, because they tend to have, not tend to, but you do get some that have got quite a few cats and dogs that have come from homes where maybe the person was elderly and had to go into a home or became very unwell. So usually these are single dogs, single cats that are used to being one-on-one with a wee old person. So they're used to being quite kind of in a nice chilled out, relaxed environment. And so they should be used to getting a few walks here and there, litter trained in that already as well. So yeah, there's quite a few options for sure.
And I suppose the advantage of getting them from one of the agencies that you said is that the animals are checked out. They've probably had all the vaccinations as well, haven't they? And all that relevant stuff.
Yeah, no, they'll have had health checks done. They'll have had relevant things done to them. So if they weren't spayed or neutered beforehand, they will get neutered. If there's like massive dental stuff needing to get done, they would get that done. Lumps removed. They would get them a good kind of once over as well. Make sure things are all kind of pretty okay for them getting rehomed as well.
I'm actually just remembering, but I got a cat from one of the rescue centres, and they were very good. They were also very supportive afterwards because she turned out to be a bit unwell.
Yeah.
And they actually helped with all that as well.
Yeah, I think most of them should do that, definitely. I mean, usually they wouldn't tend to give you an animal that had underlying problems unless they told you beforehand and or provided some financial support as well, because you do get some cats and dogs that get rehomed that have got things like diabetes, which some folk are a bit worried to kind of take on board. But if they give you financial support for that and you'll pay for the insulin and some checks and that, then, or even done with themselves, then yeah, I know, you wouldn't want to get those animals kind of put to sleep for sake of having a nice wee home that could happily live in without, some medical problems and that as well. So, yeah, no.
And if a pet's come from a loving home and it's rehomed with somebody, then chances are it's going to really bond.
Yeah, you would hope so, for sure. I mean, you do get the one or two where they're sort of so used to they've been with one person their whole entire life, they get so stressed with getting change. But so long as the person's kind of okay to kind of, keep an eye on things and take things very, very gradually, very, very slowly, they're not going to sort of jump straight in and be like, yay, I'm new home straight away. It'll take some time to kind of get, used to it as well. But no, it's been quite nice.
And also, we have guide dogs that retire, don't we, fairly often. So I suppose if you know somebody who has a guide dog, you could perhaps put your name in the ring, perhaps for them when they retire, if they're not going to be staying with a present owner, or you could get in touch with Guide Dogs UK and find out whether there's openings for that as well.
Yeah, I think so, because obviously, it probably doesn't come around very often, because obviously the dogs work for about 8-9 years type thing as well. So, obviously they'll be nice, well-behaved chilled-out dogs as well, because they've been trained quite well too, so yeah.
Well, you're waiting for a look. You're waiting for a Lucas story, aren't you? Lucas the guide dog.
He is good.
Now, before you go, I just wanted to ask, this time of the year, ear health with dogs. Now, what are some of the things we should look out for with that?
Yeah, I know we've had a few, definitely in my practice, a few kind of guide dogs, obviously, with some ear problems. And for some people, it's awkward, because obviously we had one person, it was a wee lady on her own, not got the best sight, obviously. But she's going to want to kind of help her get the drops on board. So she had to come once a day for us to put the drops in for her, which was fairly costly for her. But obviously, once it was all done, it was fine. So for ear problems, yeah, it's for any animal, it's the most common thing we do see. Most commonly, you would hear or see them shaking their ear a lot more than usual. So shaking the head, scratching their ear more than they would normally do, which is something you would see or notice more than anything else. And then most ears have a fairly nice smell to them. So if you notice any kind of horrible, odd smell or a bit yeasty smelling, or if you give it a wee rub on the side and it sounds quite squelchy, then that could be a sign of some sort of more discharge than they probably should be. If you could look into the ear as well, you should see some amount of wax, and dog and cat wax wax is different from our wax. Obviously, it's a nice bright orange colour. There's a sort of dark brown colour, and that's quite normal for them to have some dark brown wax in their ear. But if it's like a lot of wax, or it looks very red, or very hot, or very sore, or they won't even let you look in the ear at all, then that can be a sign that the ear is not happy.
And if they swim in open water, would that be a time to take special care with their ears?
It can be an instigating factor. We do have some dogs that have recurrent ear infections, and we think it's because they do like to swim quite a lot as well. So obviously water gets in there, same as in yourself. You go swimming in the sea and then you get water in your ear and you're like, oh, whacking your ear and wait for it to kind of come out. So that can happen to dogs and cats. Well, more dogs than some cats as well. So usually if a dog likes to go swimming a lot and you've had some problems with ear problems, getting a good quality kind of ear cleaner, ear wash, to kind of wash your ears out afterwards for a couple of days at the very least, to kind of like get rid of all the kind of bacteria and mange that could be in there and clean it all out as well, is definitely sort of not a bad thing to kind of invest in.
Is that tricky to do though?
Not really. I think folk do worry a wee bit because dog ears don't look how our ears look. I mean, our ears look a bit weird for sure, but dog ears look even weirder.
Speak for yourself.
They're beautiful. But no, because our ears just go straight in and that's it. But dog and cat ears go down and they make a right angle and go in. So I think some folk worry they're going to kind of damage them by putting drops in the ears and putting it in too deeply. Touch wood, I can guarantee you can't do that unless you absolutely ram some very, very long nozzle drops in. But most ear washes and cleaners are quite a short nozzle because it's more kind of just getting it into the canal and then squeezing it and putting a lot of it in. And then you should kind of like almost overflow the ear with the ear cleaner and then give it a good squeeze next to the ear and you'll hear the nice squelching noise, which means it's going to work its way down the ear canal, down to very, very bottom where the eardrum is as well.
When I was a little boy, we had a dog and it had what was called canker.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of like an old-fashioned thing. I think it's I think that kind of is a general term to encompass quite a few things. Mm. Like, it's all these old wives' tales where some folks say canker comes from dogs playing with foxes and all this kind of stuff. And there's some weird treatments you can get as well for it as well. But we don't call it canker. We call them different things. Like you've got, like, obviously you've got ear mites, which are more common in young dogs. You've got yeasty ear infections. You've got bacterial ear infections. You've got kind of more allergic ear infections as well. So it's all kind of varying things. So what they called in the olden day might be what we would call something different nowadays, but it's we don't tend to see canker as
the
you call
olden
it
days. Thank
the,
you
ye olden days.
Thank you very much. Back in the olden days when I was young. Thank you. If you have any questions for Kirsten, we have Pets Corner every couple of weeks. Kirsten's only too happy to give you advice. So if you have any questions, do drop me a line here, RNIB Connect Radio. You go to the website, click the Contact Us tab, or of course through Facebook as well, or Twitter at RNIB Radio. And of course, you can get in touch with Kirsten as well. What's the best way?
Yeah, we've got a website. If you look for the Veterinary Centre on Crow Road, we've got a website and also a Facebook page as well.
Kirsten, always a pleasure to chat with you, even though you make me feel really old. Thanks for coming in.
No worries, anytime.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.